الله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله الكريم Respected ulama, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah Ta'ala make whatever is being mentioned a means of our hidayat and the hidayat of entire mankind at large. Say Ameen. Respected elders and brothers, when we ponder over a few ahadith and ayats, we find a very important factor that Allah Ta'ala wants us to work upon, and that is the quality of to deliberate, to think, ponder. In every aspect, in this we recognize Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Likewise, to reflect within our own selves, Al-Kayyisu Man Dana Nafsahu Wa Amila Lima Ba'd Al-Maut, an intelligent person, that who looks into himself, looks at his amal, look at his condition, and makes effort for life after death. This point about reflecting is so important within our own selves, our homes, our families, etc. Meaning to say that alhamdulillah, maybe I am performing my 5 times salah, I am conscious of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What is the condition of my children, my grandchildren? What is this, their iman, their condition, their values, their outlooks, their thinking? Will my generations to come, my progenies to come, will they still be on deen and iman? 50 years from now, I may not be in this world, but will my children be in Islam and deen? It's my responsibility to bring them on that line and on that kind of a system that they remain firm on their deen, and all of them till the day of Qiyamah. It's my responsibility and I should be concerned about it. I should be thinking about it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourselves and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. Make that kind of effort that they remain firm on the deen. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّكُمْ رَعِينَ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are guardians. And you'll be questioned about your flock. You'll be questioned about your flock. Did you make the right effort? Not whether you made them wealthy, but did you keep them firm on their deen? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam is asking his children, Allah mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, who will you worship after I leave this dunya? You say, we'll worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking at that point, he's concerned about the generations to come, about his progeny. In this regard, respected elders and brothers, I would like to first mention areas that had deen, and what had become the end result of these areas, not even, basically you can say, where have they fallen astray and how they had gone away. I think it was in the 60s, that one of our jamaats, was sent to what was originally known as the USSR, to those areas that is known as Samarkand, Bukhara, Tashkent, all these areas. Jamaat reached there. Everybody was frightened and hiding from their deen. We're not practicing on their deen. That area that was the seat of Islamic learning. That was the seat of Islamic learning. They say in Bukhara, 100,000 students used to be in the Darul Ulum over there. But the time had come Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Lath Sahib, I remember mentioning, he mentioned it by giving this incident where he says that there was some Arab youngsters that were basically touring in these areas. And they came to a house. This elderly lady tells them that, can you bring me a Quran Sharif? They said, no problem, inshallah, the next trip we'll bring it. The following time when they went there, they brought a Quran Sharif and they gave it to her. When she grabbed that Quran, the way she cried, she held it by her face, her eyes and everything, kissed it many times, and then told these youngsters, hold on. She went into her house, she brought whatever jewelry she had and she gave it to them. They said, no, we don't need all this. She said, see, I made a nazar with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, before I leave this world, bless me to see the Quran Sharif. And if I get this Quran to see, I'll give my jewelry in your path, whoever gives it to me. Allahu Akbar. A place where was full of Quran. An area where there was everybody reading Quran. Many huffaz. Time came that it was like impossible to have a Quran or to carry a Quran or to read a Quran. If you was, you are basically writing your death sentence. This is the condition that had come to that area where there was Darul Uloom, where there was Deen, where there was Ulama. So in any case, this Jamaat had come to this area, in these areas, and hard to find any ulama, hard to find any people on deen. Everybody is frightened to shy or to intermingle when it came to deen. So then in any case, they came to make some contact with some of those people that, you know, realized what they had come for and said to them, they asked them, tell us, are there any ulama amongst you all? He says, yes, there is one alim far away in the mountains away. He's run away from the public because he's feared for his life. But the ulama were the targets that killed them. So this one alim had basically gone away from the community. The Jamaat made an effort and reached him. And when they met him, they spoke to him and they gave him some, you know, explanation about the work of Dawah, how it works, how we go from place to place, from town to town, from home to home, encouraging the people and talking to them about deen, etc. After he hears this, he takes a qasam. He says, it is because we have left this effort, because we have left this effort, that we have ended up in this condition. So the Jamaat asked this alim, how did this happen to you? How did this happen to you? Ama kana indakum al-madaris, where they know madrasas amongst you? Ama kana indakum al-ulama, where they know ulama amongst you? So that alim mentioned, ulama rasikhuna fil ilm, ulama deep, deep in the knowledge of deen we had. Madaris mala'u bit talamiz, madrasas full of students. So they asked, how did this happen to y'all? When y'all had such beautiful Darul Ulums, so much of students, so many ulama, but this kind of a condition came that y'all can't even now practice on Islam. So that alim mentions, we were in our dunya, in our madrasas, in our classroom environment, And the youth were on their own. They were going to the schools, etc., though they were not coming to madrasa. And it is said that, he explained that it was the communists that went to our youth and told our youth that these ulama are going to take you backward. You will not progress in this world. You should actually get rid of them. And he took a qasam. He said, our youth fought against us. Our youth fought against us. And they were in the forefront of getting rid of us. And they became the supporters of the communists. My respected elders and brothers, why I mention that? This is that important factor of vision. Allah keep it, ameen. That deen remains in our community and progeny till the day of Qiyamah. Allah make it that deen remains. This is a serious discussion. We are people of this community and locality. Just to give you some examples, my respected elders and brothers, in Alhamdulillah, Spingo Beach, we have close to 200 huffaz. We have close to 200 huffaz. I feel sad. I don't see those 200 huffaz for 5 times salah. I don't see them. Where are those 200 huffaz? I don't even see them for Fajr Salah. I think if those 200 only have to come to the masjid, mashallah, we'll have much more people in our Salah. Why? Just making them hafiz isn't sufficient. Just making them hafiz isn't sufficient. I'm told of a hafiz that became a murtad. Astaghfirullah, Allah protect. Hafiz al-Quran, who had a living miracle and lost it all. Huffaz and drugs. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. What is happening? I went to one place, they told me to perform Taraweeh there, to read behind there, for that, call me for the khatam or to recite, read with them. I looked at the person in the front there, no beard. Hafiz al-Quran, from our institute, no beard. I said, Baba, I'm not coming here tomorrow. There is something missing. That azmat of that Quran is no more in the hearts of the people. Becoming Hafiz is easy. After that, what happens to the Hafiz? Why is he not coming to the masjid? Why is he not performing his salah? Does he realize how important it is? The greatness of the Quran and Kareem is no more in their hearts. And in the hearts of many a people today. Allah Ta'ala make us make tawbah. We need to reflect upon this point. Part of the assistance of this, to get them consolidated in their deen, is important to make sure your home environment is right. From the time the child is small, to make that kind of effort that there is dindari in your home, that the environment in your home is an Islamic environment. Marhum Bhai Pade Rahmatullah Alayhi to say that our homes should be a madrasa, should be a khanka, should be an effort where dawat and tabligh takes place. That kind of environment we need to make at home. But I ask you, beloved brothers, let's think carefully. If you have in your home television, do you think that the child is going to be interested in the Quran or will be watching all these things? Do you think you're going to be making your child dindar, Islamic, by just sending him to madrasa and thereafter he can do as he wishes? That media is there to take the deen out of them. Beloved brothers, is it happening? Why is your son not there for Fajr Salah? Why are you not there for Fajr Salah? Let's make tawbah. Let's see to ourselves. Right am I doing? Am I harming my weakening my iman, harming my akhirat or not? That's one. Secondly, you know, the other day, I went to one house, family house, youngster about 6 years old, he was with us, suddenly he disappears. He takes his granny's phone, and he's sitting in the car, and doing whatever he can do with that cell phone. Bhai, what are we doing to our children? Today, let's be frank about it, a large percentage of our young mothers are really lazy. They want to sit with their cell phone, give their children the cell phone, and khalas, keep him quiet with the cell phone. Again, look at all those cartoons and whatever evil is in that thing. Because I can sit with the cell phone, and I can keep him quiet in that way. Are we not doing harm to him? Look at his eyes, going to be affected. Look at his mind, going to be changed. I remember one of the ustad telling me, Maulana, these children that are watching, these are being given these cell phones and these iPads. Maulana, they can't seem to learn madrasa. They can't seem to learn whatever they are learning. Then Maulana is acknowledging what I'm saying. Maulana is acknowledging what I'm saying. Baba, brothers, elders, understand. And he said, listen, women are hearing. Bhai, for the akhirat of your children, get rid of this thing from the house. Don't give them these things. I'm not telling you because I hate you. It's because of the children's akhirat is at stake. We need to reflect. From a small age, the child doesn't want to be sociable. I remember one child, I'm telling you, I want to talk to him. Assalamu alaikum, how are you, this, that. He's not interested in talking to me. He's more interested in that video. He's more interested in that movie. And the level has come. The condition has come. Allah maaf farma. Today it's very easy to have pornography. I remember Mufti Sahib telling us, Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, our principal, telling us, one person came to him and said, Mazhar Mufti Sahib, I was in drugs. Allah's tawfiq, I gave it up. But Maulana, Mufti Sahib, worse than the drugs is pornography. I can't seem to leave it. Just imagine, Allah is watching you. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Everyone's home when they have this. People are sitting with that in the night in pornography. Astaghfirullah. What are we doing to our iman? Will we remain on deen, our children and us also? Allah protect us. Allah protect us. Say ameen, Baba. It's serious, it's important, I'm saying to you. Rather we make tawbah. We can't give this thing to our children. We too have to be mindful how we use this thing. This is such a thing that's going to Allah protect, we can lose our iman. One side we got this from the childhood, this TV. Then we've got the iPhone and the iPads or whatever you call that thing and the cell phones. Then we understand the type of environments that they are going to in the schools. But before I get to that, you know, the other day, I was walking out of the masjid. Just in front of me was a young boy. Must be about 8, 9 years old. And I just missed him. I just saw him. What do you call that vapor? What that thing? He's puffing that thing and walking. Openly here. See, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Parents don't even worry about it. You know, many years ago, alhamdulillah, when I was traveling in Palestine, so it was the night time, and alhamdulillah, we speak the Arabic language, so I was speaking to the driver, giving him some advice about akhirat, obedience to Allah Ta'ala, etc. And he took to me very much. And then he asked me a question, says, Sheikh, it was night and he was tired, maybe tired. Tadkhin, I want to smoke a cigarette. I bichara, the fellow with the smoke. I said, okay. So he lit the cigarette. He took maybe one or two puffs. Then he asked me, Maza hukm tadkhin, what is the ruling regarding cigarettes and smoking? So I said to him, brother, Allah Ta'ala has given us a body. And this is an amana, and Before I can tell him anything more, he says, Shaykh Yaghfi, and he threw that thing out of the window. Subhanallah. What iman he had. Recognizing that this body is an amana. Today, people don't care about it. Their own children. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun an ra'iyati. You are going to be questioned about your children. Did you make that effort on their deen? You know, if we have to go further on this subject, then when we look at the schools, just want to end off with this because also very important. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, why did he open the first girls' madrasa and start the girls' madrasa? At that time, Hazrat was in the Jamiat. One mother contacted him, said, I need to come and see you. So she came to the madrasa, to the Jamiat with her daughter. I think she was in standard 8, grade 10. Maulana, this daughter of mine is talking funny things. Gee, my daughter, what's your problem? Maulana, my teacher, my science teacher has convinced me beyond all doubts that there is no God. No Allah. She had become an atheist in the school environment. That's when Maulana realized how important it was to start madrasas. Also like that, there was an incident when one man called me, wealthy person, influential person, called me. I sit by him. As soon as I sit by him, he's crying. I said, what happened to this mashallah big man suddenly crying? He says, Maulana, my daughter has left with a non-Muslim, with a Hindu. And she said, come what may, she's going to marry him. She's in varsity, she met him, and this is the results. Allah protect our children, Yameen. It's really worrying. It's serious. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. Realize that when our ulama say, be firm on taqwa, be firm on piety, get rid of that TV, make sure that you protect your children, keep them in the Islamic environment. We are not saying for nothing. You may say we are orthodox, we are hardliners, whatever. It is because of your own children, akhirat. We don't want to see what happened there in Bukhara and Samarkand happening in our localities. That is why it's important that we be firm on deen. Allah make us reflect upon what we are saying. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.